I was very unhappy, emotionally depressed. I was 400 plus pounds at that time, and I knew my environment was not a space that was going to cultivate and foster what I was envisioning for myself. I remember coming on the other end of it and being like, oh, so that's my teaching I have to offer.
Welcome to the Open Exploration Podcast. I'm on a mission to connect with rule breakers, dream makers, and all around inspiring people to explore the possibilities for living a vibrant and honest life on my own terms. Welcome to season 2 of the Open Exploration Podcast. I'm so excited to begin another season of conversations with some really, really cool people who are living remarkable lives in unexpected ways. It felt so fitting to begin this season with the bright and beautiful Carolyn Taylor Harris. Carolyn's background is in innovative health and nutrition, and she's the founder and owner of Sanita Soul Wellness, where she offers nutrition and lifestyle coaching, specializing in weight loss, insulin resistance, digestive disorders, and blood sugar. Carolyn is also in the process of starting a nonprofit with a group of wonderful people focused on providing educational resources to Black and Brown communities about the medicinal and intentional use of plant medicine. As you'll learn from our conversation, Carolyn's work, including her coaching practice, is born from lived experience and from the empowerment and freedom that she found in her own health and weight loss journey. I think that Carolyn's approach to life, to personal goals and career goals and community building, and her ever-present belief in living with purpose are relevant and instructive for all of us. Although our stories are quite different, in many ways, Carolyn and I are in similar places. We are both dedicated to building meaningful, happy, healthy lives for ourselves and hopefully supporting other people in doing the same. And we met because we are both serving at a restaurant here in Denver and maneuvering this season of growing into the lives that we want while also meeting the reality of bills, etc. I feel so lucky to know Carolyn, and I'm so grateful that she shared her story with us. So, without further ado, my conversation with Carolyn Taylor Harris.
I have butterflies.
That's always a good sign.
I know.
What kind of butterflies?
Fluttery ones.
Yeah.
Like light flutter. Excitement and another realization that I'm like living my manifestations and walking in my purpose. So,
yeah.
Thank you for being a part of that.
Ah, Carolyn, thank you for being a part of this.
Yeah.
You are somebody who came into my life in this really by chance way. You're one of the big blessings that has come out of working at a restaurant again and returning to that industry, even though that wasn't part of the plan. And there's a lot of reasons that I wanted to talk to you. And kind of when I met you right away, it was like, dang, this girl has got fire. And I think it's that. I think it's that energy of like, good things are happening and I can feel that all the time. And it's very refreshing to be around that kind of energy and infectious. So thank you for being in my life and for coming over to talk about your story today. I'm really grateful for you.
Likewise.
Well, let's dive in and hear a little bit about your story. I know that you grew up in Memphis.
Yep.
I have never been to Memphis. A trip around the South is like a big bucket list thing for me because it's a part of the country I haven't really experienced. Mm-hmm. So tell me about growing up in Memphis. What's it like? I imagine it's a little bit different than Denver, Colorado.
A little bit. Just a little bit. It's full of character, love. Food is phenomenal. There's a lot of grit and grind in the city. Also, on the other end of that spectrum, it's racially divided. It's economically divided. There's not that much of a middle class. And I'm sure you can guess how that goes as far as like who has the money and who doesn't have the money. But yeah, growing up in Memphis was a beautiful experience. And I didn't realize it growing up there because I was always like in this fantasy world because that's just how I live. But as I look back on it, it was full of family time and being around my culture, being around Black people, and just feeling vivacious and alive with that experience. And I'm really grateful for the individual that was cultivated from being in that environment. My city is a city of hustle. Mm-hmm. It's a small town. It's a small city, but there's hustle there. Along with that, there's a lot of respect. It's the type of city where you get what you give. So if you show nothing but love and respect, you're going to get that back times 10.
When I think about you now and kind of the ways that you're really intentional about your time and your energy, it seems like such a balance of those ideals that you grew up with, that sort of like hustle for what you want, put out what you want to get back, like a real energy behind putting in for the goals that you want to accomplish. But at the same time, I know that you set really clear boundaries in your life and that you protect your energy a lot and that your life is not about hustle all the time. So how has that shifted? Is that kind of accurate that you see yourself as a balance of those values that you grew up with and sort of pushing back?
Absolutely. And hearing you say it that way makes me realize I'm actually living it because that is my intention. I was not always this way. I used to allow myself to be just fully given to jobs, people, behaviors that were not conducive for me and my evolving. And I'm in this really beautiful, like, sweet spot of, like you said, setting those boundaries, but also honoring that I have goals and aspirations that require me to show up. So yeah, it just makes me feel so good to be seen. And I'm really grateful because it's been a journey getting here. So
yeah, I love that. Well, let's talk a little bit about that journey. You moved to Colorado 12 years ago?
Yeah, 2010. I literally drove in January 6th.
That is a gnarly time to drive into Denver from Memphis.
Yeah, back in that time, I wasn't so, I wasn't a planner. I was I'm doing it. And luckily, I didn't have to drive through snow and ice because, as you're right, that is like the beginning of winter. So yeah. Driving through Kansas and driving through Colorado and all that jazz. But yeah, I lucked out.
Yeah. Also, I mean, you can look back and see how you sort of evolved past that. But what a great thing that you did have that spark of energy and you acted on it. Mm. So what was it that brought you to Colorado of all places or that sparked that little bit of energy to get you here?
You know what's crazy is that what sparked it was I had a really good friend who I went to boarding school with in high school, and she was moving to Fort Collins to attend CSU. And one day she jokingly was like, "Yo, you want to move with me?" And I remember intuitively, I was like, "Yeah, why not?" I was very unhappy, emotionally depressed. I was 400 plus pounds at that time. And I knew my environment was not a space that was going to cultivate and foster what I was envisioning for myself. And I had money saved because I was working at the post office. And that was another aspect. I was working like 70 hours a week at the post office at like 19, but I was making really good money. And so when she prompted that, I was like, why not?
Yeah, here's a window to get myself unstuck.
Yeah. I often look back on that experience and I'm so grateful that I took that leap of faith because it was not easy. My family fought me, like fought me. My mother, in my personal opinion, instigated or prompted a confrontation on a weekly basis with me. Because in the South, you don't move from the South. That's where your family is. That's where you're supposed to be. And here I was, 19. My mom knew I was depressed and was unhappy. And she was like, "You're trying to leave your support system to go out there and you don't have anyone." And so I get that thought process. But also at the same time, you have to let people live their existence for what they believe it's supposed to flow into. But yeah, I'm forever grateful to myself that I was just like, even though you're fighting me, even though internally I'm like conflicted, I'm still going to take this leap of faith in myself and follow my intuition. And ever since then, I've just fostered on that. And that's kind of what's led me to being in front of you right now.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's no small thing as a kid, you know, a 19-year-old.
I was a kid.
Yeah, to already be scared to make a big move, to be coming from a place where your mental health is struggling and it's, you know, having that spark of energy and that motivation is already really hard. And then to get all these reasons piled on you of why you shouldn't. Like, it's so much easier not to. It's always easier just to stay put.
Complacency is comfort for sure. But I don't like comfort that much. I think there's a balance to it.
Yeah. Well, so walk me through kind of that first season in Denver, where you landed, what your life was like.
So moved to Fort Collins at the beginning of January, and there was no snow on the ground. It was just beautiful and sunny, and the mountains were a anchor for me. Seeing them for the first time or second time, I was just like, okay. Okay.
Had you been to Colorado before that?
Once. Okay. And literally the only reason I had come to Colorado was to come look for a space to live. Mm. I had never been here. I didn't know shit about Colorado, aka there were no black people here. So I moved here in the winter, experienced a lot of snow. And like I said, I had some money saved up, so I wasn't in this like dire need to like find a job. It was very freeing. I just remember there was like this weight lifted off my shoulders, and I felt like I could frolic. I didn't feel that way in Memphis. One of the reasons why I left was because of the dynamic of relationship I had with my mother. She is one of the most loving, beautiful humans ever, but also at the same time, she has to work on the balance of that. Having that safety net always there creates that space for complacency. Yeah, my first 6 months were me frolicking, just walking around, enjoying like the environment, meeting people, going out. I never really did that in Memphis. I didn't have a lot of friends after my boarding school experience because that was in Alabama. So I was like actually living. I wasn't just like waking up and going to work every day, you know, to a job I hated.
Right. Okay, wait, I want to take a step back because one of the things that I'm really exploring kind of in this season of my life and partly through this podcast is just the different choices that we can make in our lives and something that is so foreign to me, something I'd never thought about, even though I think about education and different choices around education all the time, is boarding school. Uh-huh. So can you talk about why you went to boarding school and what that experience was like?
Yeah. So my mother sent my brother and I both to boarding school, and it wasn't a choice. And even though I was hesitant and resistant at first, I'm very grateful that that happened. So I went to boarding school in Coleman, Alabama, which is an hour north of Birmingham. It was a co-ed boarding school. It also had commuters. On the flip side of that, it had a 0% black population. It was a sundown town, meaning that there was a sign that used to hang in the 90s at the beginning of the highway when you pulled in off the expressway. If you're black, don't let the sun set on your ass. But it was a beautiful experience because that was also my first experience of frolicking, and I didn't realize it until, honestly, right now as we're talking. I had this freedom away from the confinements of the relationship my mother shaped us in. And so I was socializing. I was, like, meeting different people of different cultures and just getting to live. I went horseback riding there consistently because I would go to friends' houses on the weekend who lived in the area or who lived not too far. I remember someone came to visit me at school that knew me in Memphis, and when they saw me there, they were like, "You're so happy here." And that's so crazy because, like, I almost want to cry, but it's okay if you cry, girl.
It's okay if you cry, girl.
Because it made me realize how much I was unhappy in my home, like my home city, in my actual physical home with my family. But like boarding school was fantastic. I learned to manage money there. I learned to do my laundry. I learned how to live with people you don't want to live with.
That's an important skill.
Yes. And also I really got to have these really great experiences because I was in a dorm where I would like stay up until like 2 a.m. watching like Gilmore Girls or some shit like that with friends. Or I would sleep over in their rooms. Or technically we couldn't like sleep in each other's rooms during the weekdays, but we would like sneak out and like go hang out with each other, and we played pranks on each other, and I played sports. Like I played volleyball, I played basketball, I played softball, and I had never done any of that I can recall when I was living in Memphis and I was in school. So I was just a part of community. It's crazy because I'm literally connecting dots as I'm speaking. So I was a part of community. And that is a pillar in my existence.
Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, I'm glad we backtracked a little bit. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's jump back forward in time. I realized that we haven't even gotten to like your work now and what you do, but we're getting there. Okay, so patience. So you're in Fort Collins. Mm-hmm. For those first 6 months, you frolicked and you enjoyed the sunshine. Mm-hmm. And you stood on your own two legs.
Mm-hmm.
What happened next?
I went back to the post office. That's a pattern. Used to be a pattern of my life of going back to things of comfort. I went back to the post office just because I didn't have an education. I didn't, and not that, I think you get what I'm saying. Like, mm-hmm. finding a job where it's not just like you working somewhere for like $15 an hour at a call center. I went back to the post office and I continued to frolic. I was making decent money, so I was, like, going out on the weekends and just experiencing life and community. And then I went to Denver, and I met my, like, people at that time. Mm. And I felt so embraced and so seen and validated. And I didn't realize it in the moment, but I felt so loved and appreciated. And those were things that I felt that I was lacking in Memphis. And so I was going to Denver every weekend. I was going to shows. I was at Cervantes. I was at Red Rocks. I was doing all the stuff. And that was a really beautiful part of my life. A lot of learning lessons because I was frolicking not only with my existence, but I was frolicking with like my money. I was frolicking with the way I was going about my life of, but what you really got going on, Carolyn?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You just out here working and then partying and then working and then partying. And like, is that any different than what you were doing in Memphis? You just added in partying. And even though it was a beautiful thing to be a part of that community, it also is not sustainable.
Yeah.
I think this is where that transition happens for me is me partying in Denver. I met Ty. Ty has been my personal trainer for years since my fitness journey began because of Ty. Mm-hmm. I naturally, living in Colorado, I was walking everywhere more, eating less because I wasn't in an environment that triggered my emotional compulsive eating habits. Mm-hmm. And so I naturally was just like losing weight and I didn't even recognize it. And then I remember Ty pulled me aside one day at Cervantes and was like, hey, like I've noticed you lost weight and you're fluctuating a little bit. He was like, yo, I can help you. He was just doing his job as a trainer. He was like, yo, let me train you. And I was like, okay, why not? I have the disposable income. And that is a big turning point in my life.
Okay, I have to share, we both love Adrienne Marie Brown.
Uh-huh.
And I was reading a book that I happen to know you're also reading, mm-hmm. Pleasure Activism, the other day, and this part really stuck out to me. Adrienne Marie Brown writes, I sit at the crux of an apparent contradiction, wanting to debunk the mythology with a middle finger held high that skinny equals good/healthy, and wanting to reclaim my agency from the national practices of emotional eating, oversized portions, sedentary lifestyles, fast non-food, pharmaceutical concoctions, overcooking, and corporate success over nutrition. Slowly, surely, I am changing habits that will liberate me from my socialization. But here's the key. It started with pleasure, not dieting and exercise. I had to love what is before I could understand what transformations were wanted, needed.
You see me fully because that quote literally personifies my existence. And it's funny you bring that quote up because I was thinking about this earlier today. I was like looking at my body and just being so in love, which is not something I can say I've always been able to do. And even though it's not necessarily aesthetically the leanest I've ever been or the leanest I'd like to be, I'm so infatuated with it. I'm so damn in love with my body. And like, body dysmorphia is crazy. It's crazy. Like today, I feel so small. And then there's some days where I just feel so big. But it's crazy, though. I'm getting more of those days where I'm looking at my body, and even though it's not quote-unquote perfect, I am just like, damn, girl. Like, for real, for real. And you're correct. Like, the pleasure comes first. That pleasure of being in the moment and just being at peace with that space that you're in. And I think that's a really big part of like where I am right now. I'm so accustomed to being rigid and structured to gain success, because that was a big part of why I lost a big portion of the weight I did. And I'm realizing I don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. That's no, just no. Be in the moment, be in love with the body, understand like this existence is meant for you to have pleasure. And I think that's a really big lesson for me right now. And that looks a lot of different ways. It doesn't always have to be this like sexual thing. Like, I'm finding a lot of pleasure in taking the time and space to ask my body what she wants right now. Like, what does she need in this existence?
Yeah, that it's the opposite of rigid and rules and I must do this in order to achieve mm-hmm. this goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just saying this feels good to me and I don't know why, and it doesn't, there's no rule behind it. I didn't read some article that told me to do this. It just feels right.
Well, that's what moving to Colorado was. Mm-hmm. It felt damn good to me to get out. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'll go. And look how it's paid off for me. So I'm trying to lean into, is it a fuck yes? Because I'm a generator by human design, which is based off birth chart. And I know you're not that keen into astrology.
I just don't know. I was going to say, I was waiting for this to come up because I think it's one of the things I really admire about you and appreciate about you is that you are able to like take these different
modalities,
modalities and tools. Ways of seeing things, right? Like you can look through such a science brain, you can look through an astrology brain and kind of gather these little tools that feel very meaningful mm-hmm. in your life. Mm-hmm. And then you share them. And so I feel like I've learned a lot from you, but you're right. I still know so little about astrology or what that means or how it can be useful to us. Mm-hmm. So sorry for the interruption. Go on.
No, not an interruption at all. I see it as a tool. It's not Bible. It's not mm-hmm. like I'm like, oh my God, the full moon in Aquarius. Like, I'm not going to do these things, but I'm going to do these things because it's this, this, this. It's like, no, I see it's a tool. I know that the moon pulls the tides of the ocean. I am 70% water, so I know you're pulling the tides within me. So I'm going to be cognizant of the symbolisms that come along with this specific full moon to see the patterns that might be showing up in my existence so that I can be more intentional with how I move with myself and with others.
Yeah, each new lens can give us some more information about ourselves and how we're living.
Exactly. And back to the point of me being a generator, the ways in which the generators decide is sacral. So it is within our belly. If it's not 100% fuck yes, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, that's a no.
It's a no for Carolyn. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how much energy that has saved me having that tool. Because I now, and it brought this dot connected to me because I was like, oh, so when I was like, fuck yes about moving to Colorado and the ripple effect I've experienced for following that intuition, case in point. Mm-hmm. And since then, it's just been, like I said, if it's not a fuck yes, Carolyn's not doing it.
Yeah. And then you can trust that whatever that decision is, whatever the outcome is, like you made that decision out of like so much self-love and energy and this spark of like, let's go for it. Yeah. Let's try it. I love that.
Yes.
You say that your weight loss journey led you to understanding your offering to the world.
Yes. One of them.
I love that. Can you talk more about that? Kind of, what do you mean that it allowed you to understand one of the offerings that you have to this world?
I would say that we can all understand that within our American society that obesity, insulin resistance, type 2 diabetes, that all plagues us. And as we know, we're going further into that being debilitating. And I think for me and the journey that I went through, I remember coming on the other end of it and being like, oh, so that's my teaching I have to offer. Because I think each one of us is here to be a teacher of mm-hmm. some sort. And for me, I think the trials and tribulations that you go through and you access glory on the other end are that teaching point you have to offer. So I just remember going through it and having a paradigm shift mentally, physically, and spiritually through that weight loss and being like, oh shit, I'm awesome. I can do anything. Because I was so mentally bogged down and physically bogged down with that weight that I was living very stagnant and stuck in my existence. I wasn't living. And that weight loss gave me access to live. And I remember thinking, I don't want other people to have to go through this. I want to be able to create that shift for the next generation. And so I just remember feeling enlightened and energized by that thought process of like, I need to share my story. Not only do I need to share my story, I need to maybe like get a little bit more education. I just remember being like, I want to share this with people. And more importantly, I want to share this with people who look like me, because black and brown in our society is so marginalized in so many different aspects. When you think of fast food restaurants and convenience stores and lack of like actual grocery stores, you think of lower income areas, which are usually have more black and brown individuals. And I just remember being like, all this information I have now is very like foundational and intuitive and not that hard. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you just got to eat a balanced meal every few hours, like get some protein and fat in like the first hour within waking up. Drink your water. Go for a 30-minute walk. You don't really have to tap into it as hard as others do. You can, but it's not necessary to have a sustainable, fulfilling life and really show up in the level that you are capable of as a human with your body. And so that is what I feel like as a big part. Like that, I went through what I went through to be able to be like, y'all, you don't have to suffer, actually. This could be so simple. That is a part of my teaching. But I think another aspect of that is I'm a natural born storyteller. And so with that, people pay attention. And so I think my triumphant story is a really great motivator for people. I used to not be able to say that so freely. Mm-hmm. I used to be like, but
I'm a storyteller.
I'm a storyteller. But now, because my self-love is just where it's at, like, I don't hold back. I understand who I am, and I stand grounded in my gifts I have to offer. And so I inspire people. And I can say that wholeheartedly and like and not be this egotistical thing. It's like, no, I understand I inspire people, and I take that responsibility seriously. And I take a lot of pride in it too, because it's like, I know I have a lot to offer, and I'm no longer in this space where I hold myself back and keep myself from my community. Yeah, it's a sweet space to be in.
Yeah, I mean, that's the energy that I was talking about when we first started, is this energy of like, of course I'm gonna inspire people. Of course I have a great story to tell. Of course you do too. Like, of course great things are gonna happen for us. Look at it, like, look at the direction that we're headed.
Yes.
And I was thinking about this recently. In a lot of ways, it feels like we're in similar spaces. Like, we're in this spot where there's so much potential energy and such a need for self-belief.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's not as much of the like proven hard facts of like, see, I made it, I did it. But there's this, I don't know, just this feeling of like, this is my purpose and this is the path that I'm on. Mm-hmm. I sometimes, in the lack of those hard facts and the lack of like, look on paper, like I'm being successful, that I get caught in those doubts and that worry and that idea of like, well, you know, what if I'm not going to make it? What if I am stuck and I just think I'm on the right? I don't know. I guess that's an element that you have and this energy that you have that I really admire and also would love to like learn from you.
Mm.
Is there a secret? How do you fill up your life and use your energy on that self-belief and the momentum forward without getting so caught in the doubt or the worry?
Huh. Thank you for that one. And I hate to break it to you, but I definitely get caught in the doubt and the worry. I just don't really show it. But I have so much love to give. And I'm an authentic person. And when I see someone and I see them showing up for themselves like you, I can't help but to express that to you. Like, it fills me up to fill you up. And you mentioned the going to make it or haven't made it. In my eyes, you've made it. In my eyes, I've made it. I'm walking in my purpose. I think that's literally all you need to do. Mm-hmm. Everything else unfolds within itself. And that's like, that's just a cherry on top. Yeah. The real shit is walk in your purpose unapologetically and understand that you're going to have those worries and doubts, but then that's when you access tools, community, whether that's you meditating, whether that's you listening to Abraham Hicks, whether that's you having a conversation with a close friend, whether that's you being vulnerable on social media and having that reassurance from people who are in your community on your page. So I would say that's kind of like the quote unquote secret with it all. But like ultimately, it all stems down to why I'm able to extend that to people. I am like everyone's biggest cheerleader. And I've always been like that. And there's a beauty in it. And in the past, I've allowed for people to take advantage of it. And that's kind of where that boundary setting comes in. And think about it like this. Think how symbiotic our relationship is. Like you were saying, we're parallel in parts of where we are. Like there's this potential. And it's like there's potential because we're walking in our purpose.
Yeah.
Like for real, for real. You're living your existence in the way that fulfills you. What did you say earlier? You were like, I wanted to start this podcast to have conversations with people who live these unconventional lives just to like share those experiences. And look at you on season two. You made it.
Yeah, here we are.
You are building out your van as we speak. And even though it's a slow and steady process, you're doing that shit.
Yeah, slow and unsteady process. And that's okay. We're embracing that. Okay, this is wild. I actually forgot that I wrote this down earlier, but it made me think of you, so I figured I would. I follow a woman. Her name is Morgan Harper Nichols on Instagram, and she does these beautiful watercolor paintings and then just has a lot of like motivational, very wise sayings. And so I've always found a lot of comfort in that. My aunt actually gave me, you can't really see it from here, but a piece of hers, and I think about it all the time. But she recently posted this idea that instead of asking yourself, what do I want to do with my life?
Mm-hmm.
Ask yourself, what do I want to do within my life?
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of ties to what you were just saying. We don't need to think about it as like, what's my end goal and why am I not there yet? So mm-hmm. much as like, no, what am I putting my energy towards?
The journey is the magic piece. Mm-hmm. And that's like that day to day, moment to moment. That's the importance to me is I can very easily get lost in the big picture
mm-hmm.
And get overwhelmed by it and get anxious and then get stuck because I'm just like looking at the big picture. And it's like, no, baby girl, look at one thing at a time. And I'm in this space now where I have structure, but I'm also going with the flow. Like today I had intentions of like waking up early, going to the gym and doing an active recovery day and all this mm-hmm. stuff. And it's like, it didn't flow in the ways in which I had intentions of doing. But in the moment when I was asking myself, how is today going to flow based off of, you know, how you slept and all that jazz, I just surrendered to it and allow the journey to unfold.
That's such a relationship of trust with yourself, right? I think oftentimes the dialogue around like having structure and not letting yourself off the hook and making commitments, sometimes that can be helpful. And I don't want to knock that like as a blanket statement, but I think it does sort of lack that element of trust of saying, you know, I'm going to set this intention for myself. I happen to know that you walk to the gym pretty much every day, like you do have that routine and it's really healthy and positive for you. But then to have the trust in your body, if she's saying like, no, not today.
Not today.
Yeah, I don't need that. You can say like, okay, I hear you. Not like, no, we're doing this because we said we would.
Girl, I used to have that character in my mind a lot. And it took a lot of therapy and a lot of work for me to work through that thought processing. And it's basically just a side of myself that was derived from my childhood, where I felt like I needed to be on the defense, where I needed to be rigid and structured to protect myself. And it's like, no, you ain't got to do none of that. Yeah. You can actually just trust in yourself, trust in the universe, trust that you're guided and protected, and allow it to flow. And just kind of just go where it feels good. The thoughts, the patterns, the food, the people, the environment. Go where it feels good and go where you're welcomed.
Yeah. And go where it feels good in like a really deeply loving way.
Exactly.
Not where it feels good for this second and then ruins your day or, you know. I think that, yeah, there's that like subtle difference. And again, it comes down to like trust. I trust that I'm going to do what's actually really good for my heart and my body and my mind. Well, let's talk about Sunita Soul. It's taken me a long time to get us back here.
It's taken me a long time to get to Sunita Soul myself. So
it's right on track.
Yes.
So what is Sunita Soul?
I am Sunita Soul. Sunita is my middle name, and it means little healthy girl in Spanish, which my mother didn't know that when she named me Sunita, Carolyn Sunita Taylor Harris. She took two of my grandmother's names, Sarah and Juanita. But yeah, Sunita Soul is my LLC that I own and operate, and I have my nutritional health coaching business along with Body Butter that I make and sell in the Denver metro area. And it's my baby, and it's who I'm embodying. It's not just a business. It's me fully stepping up within my power and my purpose. And I'm really grateful to be here because it's taken a lot of me getting out of my own way. Like, I have had people tell me for years, like, get on Instagram, get on YouTube. Like, you need to be putting yourself out there more, because they saw it. And I saw it. But I was just like in my way and stuck. And like, I'm at this space now. I've just been gradually letting it unfold. I think during the pandemic was when I started Sunita Soul Instagram. And I wasn't posting anything really. And now I'm at this space where I am just showing up and being vulnerable. And sometimes I like stop and reflect on that growth that has come about in the last 2 years. And I feel very gratified. And then I'm also super excited for what 5 years from now is going to look like, because I'm just continuing to further step out of my way. And that shit feels good. And I'm sure you understand that as well as you continue to walk in your purpose.
Yeah. One of the things that made me think of is there's always this fear when you're sharing yourself in a way that's really vulnerable and really real of like, what are people gonna think? Or like, what's the pushback gonna be? Or what if I mean to put myself out there in this way, but then it's taken in this way? I guess when you say that phrase, getting out of my own way, what I think about is not letting fear do the talking. Not letting fear drive the ship. Like, get out of here. I'm just gonna keep driving forward with what feels good and what feels right, not what I'm afraid not to do or afraid to.
Well, and that goes back to trust. I trust myself wholeheartedly. And I think that is like a really big part of self-love that doesn't really get talked about or extracted out of that conversation, is like, I have to trust myself to really equate to self-love. Yeah, I don't let the fears and the doubts stop me anymore. Even though I'm not as impulsive as I have been in the past, I have learned to discern when my intuition is firing at me to share. I've also learned that when I'm not in a space where I'm feeling inspired to create or share, that usually equates to me needing to have fun and play and pleasure. And I'm kind of in that space right now. And it's so good to be in this space where I'm just strutting along and having a great time and being at peace with whatever unfolds, you know?
Kind of in that lens of being at peace with whatever unfolds and letting it be fluid. Mm-hmm. You talk about that excitement for like 5 years down the road. Do you have any sort of dreams or ideas or energy kind of guiding you in a certain direction that you've been thinking about or feeling excited about lately?
Yeah, I have a lot actually. So I'm working with a client right now, and I adore her. We're working a lot through her compulsive emotional eating thought patterns. And as I'm working with her and we're kind of like figuring things out of like my offerings to her and what she needs from me, I'm realizing that I'm going to start a emotional eating women's group. I need to. Not only do I need to access that community, but I think also there's a lot more women out there who are dealing with this. Like, I'm not alone. Mm-hmm. And that's a really big conversational piece that my client and I currently are sparking on, is like, she's felt so alone and isolated, and I have as well. And so one of the things we're doing is, as I've created this nutrition protocol for her, every week I send her journal prompts through a Google Doc that's just like asking her different questions about her week and then kind of like helping to reframe thought patterns. And as we're going through these Google Docs and like giving feedback back and forth, I'm just like, girl, you need to start a freaking women's group for like compulsive emotional eating, because like, this is it. This is where the magic lies. Like, I can create you a nutrition protocol like 10 times over. Mm-hmm. But in reality, where we're going to see that real paradigm shift is through thought pattern and community. You have to be able to access community through these spaces, because being isolated, you're not going to get anywhere. And I'm speaking from personal experience. So that is a space that I'm definitely going to be growing into. Another really great space I'm growing into is that I will be studying for and acquiring my CPT, which is my certification as a personal trainer. I'm really excited. I have circled around this thought for years, and this is another like, girl, you better get out your own way. And so I am going to start in September for studying. I get 120 days and then I take the exam in December. I get so giddy about it because I love strength training, and not only do I love it, but like, I love sharing it with people, and more importantly, women. I think it's very important that women understand the importance of strength and conditioning training for sustainability, physically, mentally, and spiritually, one. And also, it's like, there's no more gratifying feeling than when I'm in the gym and it's just girls in there and we all just be like, yo, what up? I see you. I see you. And I see women in the gym sometimes that don't necessarily have the 8+ years of experience that I have with a personal trainer. As females, it may not feel so comfortable and safe to have a male trainer or have a male try to tell you to do something as far as like how your body should or should not be moving. So yes, doing the women's group, also the CPT, and then just continuing to explore the body butter as much as I can. And I'm really grateful for like how that's kind of like growing and cultivating slowly. And then another aspect I'm trying to grow right now is creating a women's circle exclusively for Black women, utilizing psilocybin for intentional healing. I'm really excited to cultivate that, because I think it's very important that Black women have that space. A lot of the times women healing circles are very white dominant, and there's a lot of nuance and blind spots. So for me, that is fulfilling for me. That's exciting for me, is to, one, I need it. So it's like, if you need it, create it. Mm-hmm.
And somebody else definitely needs it too.
And somebody else needs it too.
Yeah.
And so I'm really excited about that. And I mean, if it all, and if you look at the three things I'm excited about, it all comes back to community.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking that too. Yeah.
Like I was saying earlier, community is like everything to me. It's my main focus right now is being in community, being a part of community, supporting my community. So.
Yeah. And you're building up these opportunities to create community that's really intentional and exactly what you need,
mm-hmm.
and to create those spaces for other people too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, really exciting stuff. I'm grateful that I get to watch and see what it all turns into.
Yeah, I mean, you're here with me, girl. You ain't going nowhere, Lily.
Oh, I'm not going anywhere.
You're right here with me, right beside me. Because your community to me,
your community like to me.
When you were speaking earlier about who I am to you in your existence and this part of your life, I very much resonated with that. And that's exactly how I feel about you, is I feel very light around you. I feel very free. I feel excited. I feel seen as a Black female. And I love our conversations. And I just love witnessing your journey and being a part of it. And when you asked me to do this, I was like, oh my God. I was literally like, oh my God. I was like, one, she sees me and like, I just adore her. And like the fact that she wants me on her podcast, like it's so, it made me feel so damn good.
I love that. I love you. Thank you. I'm so grateful that you're in my life. Everything you just said, right back at you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Open Exploration Podcast. To find out more about Carolyn's work, visit sanitasoulwellness.com or find her on social media at sanitasoul. This podcast is produced by me, Lily Worthen. Thank you to Poddington Bear, John Sib, and the other unlisted artists for sharing your music that brings this podcast to life. And to all of you listening, thank you, love to you all, and until next time, happy exploring.